Ooh, you want to play psycho killer? Can I be the helpless victim?
Cross your eyes and scream, man. Scream for your life!
Welcome. I'm your scream queen, Jenica Olin. This is my 19th episode, and it's March. So that means spring break. Woo! My theme of this month is spring break slaughter. Lots of people trying to get it on, people traveling, going to places they've never been, and then dying there and never coming home. That's what happens here. Be careful where you travel to. If you're new here, each episode will have an intro, brief synopsis of the movie, an analysis of the film, and then I get into the true crime of it all. I'm a huge true crime fan, and I like to make connections between the true horrors that inspire our darkest imaginations. The truth is, the stuff on screen is way tamer than the true horrors that take place every day. Spoiler alert, I've made it my job to spoil the shit out of this movie. So, if you don't want spoilers, go watch it, come back, you know, the whole thing. Today, I will be covering the 2008 horror sci-fi film, The Ruins, directed by Carter Smith and written by Scott B. Smith, starring Sean Ashmore, Jenna Malone, and Jonathan Tucker. The estimated budget for this film was $8 million, and the estimated gross was $22 million, almost $23 million, actually. Some quick trivia about this film and the novel. There are no ruins to speak of, just a hill overgrown with the vines and the shaft cut into it. Director Carter Smith suggested changing it to an ancient Mayan temple, an idea with which writer Scott B. Smith agreed. Before filming, Laura Ramsey talked to nurses who had treated people in psychiatric wards to get an understanding of some of the mannerisms they said people would have if they thought something was overtaking their body and felt things moving around inside them. The leaves of the vines each have 6 points on them. 6 is often associated with evil. Let's set the scene with a synopsis of the movie.
So, what do you guys think? Ancient Mayan temple off the beaten path.
I want to go.
I'm in.
1,000 years ago.
This feels weird, Jeff. Why won't they come near us?
This was a place of sacrifice.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
It still is.
On me.
They won't let us leave.
Why are they doing this?
Amy and Stacy are on vacation in a Cancun resort with their boyfriends, Jeff and Eric. They meet a guest named Matthias and invite him to share a drink with them. He invites them to join him and his friends to visit an ancient ruins his brother and wife are excavating. While drinking and dancing, Amy drunkenly kisses Matthias. The next morning, they head to the ruins, and Matthias tells the group that he hasn't heard from his brother and sister-in-law since they got to the ruins. They wander through the jungle until they finally come across a clearing, and a high ancient ruin stands before them. While they admire the sight, shouting men suddenly come behind them, yelling and pointing weapons at the group. They try to figure out what they did wrong when the men emerge from the jungle with bows and arrows. Amy takes a picture, not knowing how serious the situation is. When one of them tries to hand over the camera, he's shot in the chest with an arrow. In shock, the friends retreat and are pushed up into the ruins. At the top of the summit, Matthias scrambles around looking for his brother, but the camp seems to be abandoned. The others check their phones but can't get a signal. Coming from the bottom of the deep shaft in the middle of the summit, they hear a cell phone ringing faintly. Desperate for a phone, Matthias loops a rope around himself, and the other boys lower him slowly down the shaft by an overhead crank. It is slowly going until suddenly the rope snaps, and Matthias plunges to the bottom. While the boys repair the rope, Stacy volunteers to go down the shaft. They lower her slowly down the line, but it isn't quite long enough for her to make it all the way. Stacy unhooks herself from the rope to drop to the floor, but lands on a lantern with her knee. Having to pull out a shard of glass from her knee, Stacy winces and hobbles toward Matthias. He says that he's scared and he can't feel his legs. Amy goes down the shaft to help. At the bottom, she and Stacy struggle to hoist Matthias on the backboard. Jeff is a pre-med student, so he inspects Matthias' wounds. They all argue about what to do in their situation. Amy is at her wit's end, storms down the steps of the ruins to confront the captors. When she reaches the bottom and yells at them to help, they shout back in a language she doesn't understand. Jeff runs to drag her away from the men, and out of frustration and anger, Amy rips a large chunk of some of the vines that cover the ruins and throws it at the menacing men. It hits a small boy and harmlessly falls to his feet, but the captors quickly turn their attention to the little boy and shout at him, gesturing towards the ruins. And after refusing to move, he's shot with bows and arrows down to the ground while his mother looks on. Jeff and Amy run back to the summit and report back what they saw to Stacy and Eric. In the morning, Stacy wakes up screaming. She looks down at her leg, and one of the vines from the ruins is clearly growing into the large cut she had on her knee. Chris quickly pulls it out and removes about a foot of greenage from her leg. They call for Jeff to take a look while Amy stands by Matthias to check on him. Sweating and looking gray, Matthias asks Amy to pull the blanket off his body. He senses something is wrong. When she removes the blanket, she starts to scream. They see that vines have wrapped around his legs and entered his wounds.
Oh my god. I have to tie my leg.
Amy believes that they are being quarantined on the ruins. The cell phone rings again. Stacy and Amy go back to the shaft, desperate to find the phone. Armed with handmade torches, they follow the ringing sound. A woman lies with her back to them against a wall. When they touch her, her body falls and they see that she is recently deceased. Amy notices the flowers vibrating every time they hear the ringing sound. She realizes that the flowers are mimicking their sounds. When she goes to touch the flower, the vines start to attack, and they narrowly escape all the vines, closing in on them. Jeff inspects Matthias' wounds and lets everyone know that there's no way that he will be able to survive if they don't amputate his legs immediately. Since help is not definite, Jeff says that there's no time to waste. Eric protests, but put it to a vote. Unable to come to a consensus, Matthias weakly calls out to them and wants them to do it. Eric is told to hold down Matthias while Jeff breaks both legs and cuts them off with a hunting knife they found. Finally, cauterizes them with a pan to stop the bleeding. Amy can't sleep and sits next to Eric while they talk about if they think Stacy's going to be all right. When Amy begins to cry, she leans her head into Eric's shoulder as they sit on a log. Stacy, inside the tent, awakens and accuses Eric and Amy of having sex. Amy and Eric believe she is delusional, but Stacy can't be reasoned with. When Jeff tries to intervene, she lashes out and tells him that Amy has cheated on him before.
Stacy. Fuck you!
Fuck you!
All you cared about your fucking show!
Stacy, stop it!
Don't fucking touch me! Fuck you! She would have slept with Matthias if I hadn't stopped her.
The next time they check on Matthias, the vines choked him to death and crawled down his throat. They witness the vines grab and claim his body. In the morning, Eric is panicked and asking Jeff to come see Stacy. It's clear that something's very wrong. Stacy shows him her back, revealing green patches growing under her skin that slither like snakes under the surface. Jeff cuts into her skin so he can grab the vines and pull them out. Some of the vines growing inside her are several feet long, and he pulls them out. Later by the fire, Stacy seems slightly hysterical when saying she can feel them inside of her, that they are everywhere. Eric tells her that it's just in her head, but she then says that she can feel them in her head as well. When Amy offers her some tequila, Stacy takes a sip and they can see a vine moving in her forehead. She wants to cut more of them out, but she has lost too much blood.
It's everywhere. It's in my head.
It's okay. You're okay.
No.
Yeah, you're okay.
No. It's not okay. I'm not okay. You keep saying I'm okay. I'm not okay. Why do you keep saying it?
The next morning, Stacy wakes up first and finds the hunting knife and starts cutting into herself to pull the weeds that have been invading her body. When the others wake, they see Stacy standing in a pool of her own blood, slowly cutting herself, trying to remove the vines. She cuts Jeff's hand when he tries to take the knife from her. When Eric tries to get her attention, she's in a panic and accidentally stabs him in the chest with the knife. Realizing what she's done, she's screaming in grief and pain, pleading for them to kill her. Jeff gets the knife from Eric's chest and puts her out of her misery. Jeff now smears blood on Amy's face and arms and explains to her that she must run while he creates a diversion. He walks down the steps holding her, presumably dead, in his arms and lays her down on the ground. The men follow him along the edge of the ruins as he yells at them. On cue, Amy gets up and runs to the abandoned Jeep they saw earlier. Jeff is shot to death with several arrows and a final bullet. Amy is able to successfully escape, unsure of her fate.
Her name
is Amy! She is not gonna die in this fucking hell!
In an alternative ending on the DVD feature, it shows Amy driving away after her escape. When she looks in the rearview mirror, she sees a small vine moving under her skin, just below her eye. The next scene takes place sometime later on a cemetery. The caretaker whistles a song when he hears something repeated. He finds the sound comes from flowers on a tombstone, which is revealed to be Amy's, who died upon returning home. The carnivorous sound-mimicking vines are now growing over her grave, waiting for the next victim. Now it's time to talk horror, and my guest today is George. I connected with him through my trivia event, and I'm happy to have him on. When it comes to the horror community, we are some of the best, most understanding people on this planet. So how are you doing, and is there anything you want to share with my listeners?
Hey, how are you doing? I hope you're doing good. Not really. I'm just happy that I got invited to talk horror. I'm always open to talk horror. That's all I talk about pretty much in my normal life, so why not do it in a podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I do this, because I just enjoy it. I enjoy talking. I just came from a trip with my daughter's school, and I was definitely the only mom that liked horror, and It made for very awkward conversations, because they're like, so what do you do? And I'm like, well, you know, I kind of have this podcast and I do this thing, and my husband has a metal venue and they have all metal music. And I just, none of them, there isn't one person, that one other parent, that could relate to me.
So you're like a drug addict on withdrawal right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like forcing it upon them. I'm like, don't you know this movie? And they're like, no. Or they'd make a reference. I'd be like, oh my God, this happened at this time. And there's like this fucked up thing. And they're like, nope, I don't know anything about that. Like, okay, not my people.
Trust me, I've been in there in that situation more times than I'd like to admit.
Yeah. So you watch The Ruins.
I did. I actually hadn't seen it in a long time, almost since it came out. But when you asked me if I wanted to watch it for the podcast, I was like, oh, I remember that movie, sure. So I watched it, and yeah, I have thoughts.
Okay, so you have lots of thoughts. And you said that you were reading the book as well.
I read the book also around the same time as the book came out. Sorry, okay. The movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that different in story-wise. It also has, the movie's more than 10 years old, so spoiler alerts are a little useless, right?
Yeah.
It also follows that kind of like dumb tourist who gets in a situation where at first it looks like they're doing it kind of to themselves by being idiots, but then it's like, oh no, actually the plants are alive. Oh shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoy like nature attacking humans. So I like this movie a lot. And yes. Then there's some really great body horror in this.
Indeed.
I think this is a really underrated movie.
Honestly, I would agree with you if it wasn't for the fact that I didn't like a single character, and I kind of, all of them kind of got on my nerves constantly because of the decisions that they made. And listen, I mean, I'm no genius. I know that if I was in a kind of similar situation, I'd probably be the first one to die. But I am the person that is going to run upstairs instead of to the door. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes these people just, I don't know. I'm not against unlikable protagonists, but I think these guys just got on my nerves. But other than that, I agree that the movie's better than I remembered.
Yeah, so they're not likable, but I think that's part of it. I think they're like these privileged, really annoying tourists. And they're coming into this place and they think that they can do whatever they want, and they can't, and they pay the ultimate price for it.
Which, and I feel like being a tourist in a horror movie is a sure sign of death.
Yeah. Any,
whether it's just Eastern Europe or the Amazon or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like they hear about this ruins that is off the map, and they think that they are going to have this privilege to like go to this spot where, sorry, there's, you know, there are going to be indigenous people around there, and they're just going to like go traipse through their land, and they're not asking for permission. They're, you know, this stuff is, you have to follow a certain protocol. You can't just like wander into someone's backyard. And they are extremely naive when it comes to the way that they go around the world. But that also plays into the fact that they're very young. They're supposed to be on spring break, I believe. They're on some kind of break from school. And I believe it's spring break. That's why I picked this movie.
I think so. Yeah, they all have that mid-2000s horror movie look where they're all like chiseled body. I have an accent. Mm-hmm. So sorry if I'm
saying no. I understand body, you.
Chiseled body, model looking people. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that it makes them even more like more annoying. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. 100%. I think I like them for what they are, for where they're supposed to be in the movie, because I think that they play that role well. I think if I liked them, I wouldn't have wanted them all to die. And I was completely fine with them all dying.
I mean, no arguments there. I mean,
they were supposed to be a sacrifice. They're supposed to be these idiots. And then they're kind of like a sacrifice. And I think one scene that really got me, and I felt so bad for the people in the village, was when the little boy, when she throws the plant at him, and it touches him, and they're trying to shove him up the stairs of the ruins, and the little boy won't go. And so they shoot the little boy, and the mom is there, and she's crying and all these things. And for some reason, they're still thinking they're going to get out of there. Like, they killed their own
mm-hmm.
when this plant touched him. And they're still not putting it together, and they still think there's going to be a chance for them to get out. But I think that is why they're such good victims. And there is no, for me, like there is no final girl in this movie. Like the her, she even like the character, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but when she leaves, like she leaves and her like future is unknown. But I will say there is an alternative ending that they didn't show
We'll get there.
where, huh?
I think we should leave that
Okay, we'll leave
for
that.
after we discuss the movie. I've heard of it, but I don't know exactly what happened. I kind of want to know what about it, like, after we talk about it. But it is interesting because that girl is who's I think she was also she's been a lot I've seen her in a lot of movies. I remember her. She was Donnie Darko. She was in The Neon Demon. She is like one of the few people that at first seems kind of sensible because she's the only one that went on the vacation that wants to, like, no, I want to stay in my hotel room. I just want to enjoy the pool, blah, blah, blah. And everyone, including the boyfriend, who is just insufferably like, no, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. It's like, oh my God. It's kind of like she just goes just to shut him up, which, and it's just. Yeah, less even less material to in make them endear me. But yeah, I do like that scene where they sacrifice the kid. I mean, I support any movie where a little kid dies. No offense.
Yeah.
So
If you have the guts to kill kids,
yeah,
it's good horror.
yeah, absolutely. Like the Blob remake, I'm all for it. The people that just start screaming at them, like, and they don't understand it. But I mean, for some reason, they decide to just get in the. In the pyramid, which I mean, I don't know why, but
They're kind of like being shoved that way because they keep pointing in that direction. And they're not going to let them go past them. So they don't really have another choice. Like they're forced up that the ruins.
I you're right because I know that the girl that we're talking the actress I keep calling her the girl because I don't remember the actress's name, so I apologize.
Oh,
But
no, you're good.
the she did sit down in the plants, and but I don't know. I get why they were being shoved into the pyramid. I just feel like if I was being screamed at to a shot with a shotgun on my face, I don't know if that would have been my instinct to walk away. I don't know.
It's like at first, it's almost like they're warning them, and then like to not go there. And as soon as she gets into the plants, that's when it like escalates to, okay, well, now you've touched the plants, now you have to die. So you can die by, right here at the bottom of the ruins, or you can like, you can go die up there with the plants. But I like the, what was it? So the guy that gets killed first, that's like friends of Matthias.
Yeah, he's the I think he's the guy that has seems to have more experience with these kinds of tourist trap kind of stuff, which he falls in the inside the pyramid.
Yeah, well, he what does he do? Well, he's shot, he's the first one killed because he tries to hand over the camera. But because he tries to touch one of them by handing them something, that's when they kill him. But he hadn't even touched the vines or anything yet. But I guess she had touched the vines and she had touched the camera and then he touched it. I don't know. It's like a cheese touch. Have you ever, the kids say cheese touch? It's like that.
Yes.
Oh my God. And it actually reminds me, so I was just on a trip with my daughter and her school. And a good chunk of the kids got neurovirus.
Oh no.
And the way that we were treated because we had all these sick kids in the hotel, and then like the way that the parents that their kids weren't sick treated us, it just really got me in this like It was not nice. People are not nice to people who are infected.
Absolutely not. No, I, you really, it really brings out like the worst in people, just the fear of getting sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had to deal with it. And my daughter got sick.
Oh, so no.
She got sick and her boyfriend got sick.
Oh, no.
And so I had to deal with parents like being really rude. And like, there's just this one woman really pissed me off. And I kind of told her off a little, but it just put me in that position of like, okay, they really did not want to spread this thing. And they were really, they're willing to sacrifice these people. They don't give a shit about these people.
As long as I stay clean, like fuck everybody else. We can curse here, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Fuck everybody here.
Yeah.
as long as I'm safe.
Yeah. You would think that people would try to help each other out more, but
what country do you live in? Come on.
Like I was having flashbacks and I was like, oh shit. And we made it home and we're home today, but it was horrible. It was horrible.
God. I mean, at least it didn't get worse, right?
Yeah, I'm glad all the kids.
At least you didn't have to shoot your daughter or anything like that.
Yeah, no. I would have sacrificed all of them for sure for my daughter. Wait.
See, you're the same. You would have killed all of them.
Well, you know, only for my daughter. Amy believes that they're being quarantined, but there's no cure. So quarantine, you know, kind of there's a out for that. Like you'll eventually be able to go home.
Yeah.
But no, they're just like infected and it grows on them. So it's kind of like a fungus almost too.
Well, we have to talk first about the character, that character that gets shot first. He falls in the pyramid.
No. So that wasn't the character that got shot first.
Okay.
Matthias he has to go up with them. He's like, so the whole reason why they even went to the ruins is because his brother and his sister-in-law that were supposed to be there, and they're doing like an excavation of the site. Mm-hmm. And so he gets there and as soon as they're like, you know, they're shocked, all this stuff just happened. They go up and he's searching all the camps. So he sees that the camp's set up. They're like, I think two tents. And there's all these supplies and stuff, but it seems to be abandoned. So he's trying to search for them. And that's why he goes down that shaft, because he's trying to find them. Yes. But then the rope breaks.
Of course.
And he takes a really big fall.
Yeah. And this is also a moment where I was like questioning, like, because it's bad on them, but at the same time, if I was in the situation, what else could you do? Where he falls, right? And if you have any kind of like knowledge of injuries and things like that, you know that if somebody has that kind of fall, you don't move them.
Mm-hmm.
Help, but that's the thing, like there is no help.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? So my mind kind of had like that. This is before all the supernatural stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of like, man, what? Like, and so we're like the next sequence is of them basically getting him out.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking like, God, I know they're trying to help, but are they making it worse?
Oh my God. I cringed so hard when they picked him up. Did you see how he folded like a fucking lawn chair?
Honestly, they probably like made it worse. He was probably like, okay, maybe I'll survive this. Oh, now I'm a paraplegic. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, no, it definitely, the way he folded, I was like, oh, his spine is dislocated. There's no way. That's you don't bend like, that way.
It's just like that now. Like it's a
It was really that was body horror. That was our first glimpse of body horror with the way that he was just his body was folded up as they were trying to move him, and they kind of hesitated, but they were like, well, we have to do it. So they're just like, despite his groans and moans and everything, they they get him on whatever the thing is that they're putting him on, the like Ernie thing.
Yeah. The makeshift medic, but yeah.
Yeah.
But where we start getting, once he's out, that's when we start getting the notice that there's something extra with Pyramid, because that's when you see the plants coming through his legs, and that's what's that stuff really is the stuff that got to me about this movie, seeing those just dig into the skin like that. And it gets worse as the movie goes on, but just I have a thing on movies about anything like alive entering the skin like that. That and eyeball violence are my two things that really like get to me.
Yeah.
So like when those plants start getting inside him in the beginning, and I think the other characters are like having an argument about something. I don't even remember. I was just cringing about this guy's getting the vines on him.
Yeah, and Stacy too, because she cut her knee when she had went down into the shaft to get him. So like any kind of open wound that they had automatically got like whatever spores was growing on their clothes as well was growing in their wounds. And so they had these vines growing in them. And I mean, this movie is worth watching just for the body horror and just for like the vines and seeing how they did a really good job with the effects in this. I honestly don't know how they did it.
I just figured it was CGI.
Yeah, it's just really good CGI.
Yeah, which is it works for the most part, like especially when that scene where they're inside the pyramid and like how the plants kind of like fool the humans with that, they kind of do this vibration that imitates like the around them. What do you think of that?
I thought it was really good. So I used to be a science teacher. I used to teach science and I used to work at the Orlando Science Center. And so, you know, that in science, like all sound is motion, it's sound waves. So, and there are a lot of that. We have birds, we have we have birds that can mimic humans and sound like humans. And so for them to make a flower that can mimic human sounds, I thought was really clever.
Well, it gives like a touch of realism to a fantasy element, because it's based on science, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can see it vibrating. It's not like it's got a little mouth or something, and that would be silly.
Yeah, it would have been a Little Shop of Horror situation.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is much more realistic, and that's why it's so much more terrifying, because you can see it's just vibrating, and the vibrations are what's imitating the sound that they have heard, and they're adapting as a way to catch their prey. And plants really do that, and animals do that.
Don't the some form of Venus flytrap actually do something like that to attract the...
It makes itself look like a flower, and then it also has like a... There are other plants too that are they're actually... my whole like true horrors portion for this is going to be on carnivorous plants, and there's a whole bunch of them that are kind of like tulip shaped. They have like a long tubular type thing, and they can actually eat like not just bugs but small lizards and like mice and things like that.
Damn.
So like it's not that far-fetched that maybe somewhere down the line with evolution that plants could eventually start attacking humans like this. I don't want that to happen.
I mean, well, hopefully we'll both be long dead by then.
Yeah, right. Or like maybe this is the future of like when plants take over the planet and we're exterminated or something.
Yeah, I feel like we have more of a chance of a Last of Us situation where there's going to be some kind of fungus or mushroom, but that's for another podcast, I think.
Yeah, that's another episode. But it also, that's plants, and there actually are like zombie, there's like a zombie fungus that can like take over. It's only bugs, that I can take over the bug's brain.
I actually had an idea for a novel like many years ago when I had my writer phase, where I wanted to. I thought it would be a cool idea because I had seen a documentary with the ants with the zombie.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Last of Us came out, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna beat that.
Well, I mean, there's always more places it can be taken to. I think that it's not something that has been heavily done. Kind of go back to the mimicking of the plant. I love that it was mimicking a cell phone. And they kept, yes, like, they were, this kind of plays into how stupid they are. They thought there was a cell phone working in the ruins. They couldn't get their cell phones to work at the top of the ruins or as they're walking to the ruins, but inside the ruins, down the shaft, somehow there's a phone that keeps ringing and is working.
Yeah. I would have been like, I would like to think that I would have been like, this is kind of suspicious, but they're all like, oh my God, where's the phone? Where's the phone? Where's the phone?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it went ringing with that gnarly effect that they're like,
mm-hmm.
I'm shaking my hands for those who are listening to the audio.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing the vibrations.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing the silent clap. But yeah, it's really cool. And after that, things get really fucked up, because that's when the characters get really, really, really like, especially the blonde girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think worst, like, when those plants are in there, she's just cutting herself all over, and
that scene. Okay, so that whole, though, like, the events that happened to her are so horrific. Just from when she wakes up the next morning, and so what's her name? I'm trying to find her name. Stacy. Mm-hmm. So Stacy wakes up the next morning and she is like, there's something wrong. I can feel something in my, you know, in her skin. And she shows them that there's like a green patch under her skin. So it kind of just looks like a fungus, almost like if you've ever been around a child that gets like ringworm. That's kind of what it looked like to me. But then he's like, okay, we've got to cut this out because it moves. And so they start freaking out when it moves. So he cuts her. And I mean, that thing was a few feet long. He was pulling it out of her.
Yeah.
And her screams were like, they were on point for like, I'm in pain screams. Oh,
I can't imagine how painful that would be. Just that thing just scraping all over your nerves while you're pulling it out, and just, and she keeps seeing it all over her body, and and then she starts doing the cutting herself, and it's like, oh, mm-hmm, man.
It's like the day after. But what freaked me out was that same night, whenever she's like, I can still feel them everywhere, and she's like, I want you to do more cutting, and they say, no, you've lost too much blood. We can't cut anymore. And she takes a swig of the tequila and she's like, what do they say? They're like, it's all in your head. It's all in your head. And then literally you see the vine in her forehead moving. And it's like, oh my God. And they like look away because they don't want her to see their reaction. And it's so fucked up.
No, it's great. So fucked up. I loved it. It was fucked up.
Yeah. It was such good horror. And then, the next day she wakes up and she decides if they're not going to help her, she has to do it herself. And she starts like kind of hallucinating too. She's kind of losing it. I'm sure it's with the lack of water, lack of food, lack of blood, and the fact that she's got this thing growing in her. She, you know, accuses her boyfriend of sleeping with Amy, saying that they were having sex, and she's just really, you can tell she's losing it. But she gets to a place of almost like, it almost reminds me of like someone being dehydrated, or what is it? Like whenever if you drink too much salt water, you'll start hallucinating and then you'll actually get like happy.
Yeah.
Or so she's just like cutting herself. And at that point, she's not feeling pain anymore because she's so far into the delusion
Well,
and the psychosis.
isn't that like the brain releasing some kind of endorphins to kind of like basically keep you sane? Because then it's lacking whatever it needs to survive. I'm not an expert, I don't know, but
Yeah, no, it's a really strange thing, but it happens to people who are dying.
you're dying, but the body is just kind of like giving you an extra burst of energy, just fighting.
Yeah, it's like your last fight. It really is. And she cut so much, like she was just standing in a pile of her blood.
Oh
And
yeah.
she's just cutting more and more off of herself.
Yeah, it reminded me of that. You ever see that French movie, In Her Skin?
No.
If you thought that scene was fucked up, this is a whole movie about that scene. It's basically a woman who like can't stop mutilating herself. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a movie for like, hey, I have a Friday night off. Let's watch In Her Skin.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out and then find a day where that's appropriate. So, okay, more body horror, more plant horror. The cutting off of the legs. So, Matthias, his legs, he's like, there's something wrong. Come look at my legs. They move the blanket and they see that his legs are all wrapped in the vines, and that the vines are like literally inserting themselves into his wounds. So they pulled them all off, and the boyfriend, Jeff,
I don't remember
which he's like the dorky one. He's,
that.
yeah.
Okay.
So, huh?
No, I was gonna say he was like the dorky guy in the Texas Chainsaw remake.
Oh, okay. It was the remake. I watch originals. I have not watched a lot of the remakes.
Oh no, you're. I'm just. I saw that movie when it the remake when it came out in the theater, and I just remember that guy because he gets abused during the whole movie by Arlie Ermey, which is the only good thing about that remake.
Yeah. But he's like a pre-med student in this movie. So he's like, we have to cut his legs off. There's no choice. And
They use
my.
the rock.
To break the bones.
Yes. Ugh.
It was so brutal.
It was just the sound and the crunch and the way he was going into shock. It's like, oh, beautiful. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. And then the way that he takes the pan and he like, what, I don't know how you say this word, like cauterizes the
Yes.
wound. And so to stop the bleeding and kind of seal it up, but it's so brutal. And you can just hear the skin like burning.
It probably smells great too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dinner. Dinner served. They had like a fresh pair of legs there they could have eaten.
I know they have no excuse, but the plants weren't affected by though they weren't affected by the plants. Maybe they couldn't eat them.
Yeah. Well, the plants. Start taking the legs.
Yeah.
That I love that scene. That was just so comical when the plants, like, they're just like watching the plants wrap themselves around these legs and take them. And they're terrified, like they're mortified at what they're witnessing.
Nothing goes to waste with these plants.
No.
Yes,
No. They've got to, I mean, I'm sure they're going to decompose somewhere in those vines, and those nutrients are going to be absorbed into them.
that's what plants love.
Eventually, we'll all be taken by the plants.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I mean, when we're buried in the ground and our bodies decompose,
That's true.
and then the plants will take our nutrients.
Even if you get cremated, you're something's gonna get absorbed.
Yeah. It's life.
It is life. It's kind of comforting, honestly. Like you
Yeah.
die, you are part of another life.
Yeah.
You don't go to waste.
Yes. Except I don't want to contribute to these plants. I'm okay with like contributing to a tree.
Okay.
Like a redwood tree or something.
But not these kind of like flesh eating plants.
No. What do you got? They're assholes.
Hey, they all have to survive somehow. Don't be judgmental.
They're not the ones
who are in their area, you know, uninvited, you know, setting up a camp. Those are the assholes.
This is, yeah, they're all guilty.
Yes. I admit, I don't remember how Iceman dies.
Okay. So she's like freaking out and she's cutting into herself. And they try to take the knife away from her the next morning when they wake up and they're mortified that she's been doing this.
Okay.
And she cuts Jeff's hand when he's trying to take the knife. So once he does that, then her boyfriend, I'm trying to find his name again. Her boyfriend Eric comes behind her. And when he comes behind her, she stabs him.
Oh, okay, you're right. Yes.
She stabs him in the chest. But she's hallucinating. She's out of it right now. She thinks they're going to stop her. She wants to get these things out of herself. And then she comes to and she realizes that she just killed her boyfriend that she loves. And his body starts getting dragged away by the vines.
Honestly, he got it easy.
Those are some strong vines.
Well, I mean, yeah. But at the same time, you're like, all these people are suffering. He just got stabbed and he's like, his troubles are over. Like,
yeah. But then they put her out of her misery because she's like, please kill me. Just please kill me. So then they do. Like, Amy looks at Jeff in a pleading way. And then at the end, that's when they decide how to, they have make their escape plan because it's just the two of them at that point. And I wasn't sure what was happening when Jeff starts covering Amy with all the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the hell? They're just like having a conversation about like what they're going to do next. But I don't know. So he starts putting the blood on her and she has to pretend that she's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. They put it on blood so they can fake that she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he decides to sacrifice himself.
Mm-hmm.
So run away, which kind of works.
It does. It works. And the only, like, she's super selfish by getting off. Like, she's seen everyone get infected. She now knows exactly why they're keeping them there.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I can think they thought she might still be okay is because she's the only one that never had an open wound.
Maybe. I haven't thought about this. I just figured that because they try to catch up to her, but she kind of gets away.
Yeah.
So I honestly, that's all I figured. Like, oh, she got away.
Well, I think she thinks she's fine because she never had an open wound. Because, so right, like, Matthias had...
That's what you're telling me about that other ending?
Yeah. Okay. So what happens in the other ending? So okay. I'll tell you the alternative ending. In the DVD feature, it shows her driving away. And then in the rearview mirror, you see a small vine moving under her skin, just below her eye. And then it cuts to the next scene that takes place later on. And it's at a cemetery. And over her grave are the plants that are growing out of her, around her tombstone. And
that's definitely a thought.
Huh?
That is definitely a dark ending.
Yeah, that's much darker than what we got. Like, we just, we don't know what happens in the, like, the version that I saw. It was open, you know, very open-ended. But now in the other version, extended version, yeah, she dies. And then they are growing out of her in the graveyard.
I mean, I wish that had been, like, the original ending, because the ending we have is kind of just kind of like these, the other two tourists that they were hanging out with earlier in the film, they just kind of show up and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
They're fucked. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's starting all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I have a little game for you.
Uh-oh.
And so it's going to be... So nature and plants killing people is nothing new. They were here before us, and through adaptation and evolution, they've learned how to fight back, and we have carnivorous plants. They exist. So if you had to choose a fate on with like plants that are in other horror movies. So I have like a this or that with horror movies and plants. So I'm going to call this eco-horror. Okay.
Okay.
So which horror movie plant would you rather have kill you? So the toxic spores from The Happening, or a mutant plant monster, Biollante, which is the one you were talking about before.
Biollante from Godzilla?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is created from the tears of a woman who was killed by Godzilla.
Yes.
So Biollante or The Happening?
Oh, Biollante. For sure. I would rather get stomped on and destroyed by a kaiju monstrosity. That seems like a pretty quick death.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm gonna struggle. I actually got that movie on Blu-ray today.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Godzilla could almost, it almost defeated Godzilla. What the hell am I going to do against it? Yeah, The Happening, I mean, you're basically still conscious while you're being taken over. And I don't know it picks the death, because you kill yourself when you get infected. So you're, am I going to have a quick death, or am I going to have like a really like awful slow death? Like, you know, I'd rather get it done. If I'm going to die, I'd rather get it done quickly. So, yeah, Biollante, do whatever you got to do to me.
Okay, so Biollante. Okay, so the ruins, which, you know, we're talking about. So we've got our carnivorous plants.
No, wait a minute. Which one would you pick?
Oh, me? I would pick Biollante.
Okay, but see, you're smart.
Yeah, I would pick Biollante.
Sorry for interrupting.
It's okay. Or there's a film, Annihilation. This film features a mysterious area where plants and animals have mutated into bizarre, dangerous forms.
Oh, yeah.
So would you rather the carnivorous vines or the mutated plants?
Well, I think I'd rather mutate Annihilation style, because then I become like one with nature. And I don't have that whole, well, it is kind of a form of body horror, but I don't know what I'm going to be. I might just become like a tree, or I might get eaten by a giant mutant bear.
Yeah.
But I become part of nature.
Yeah. I guess I would rather contribute to the mutant plants. I would rather my nutrients go to that than the stupid carnivorous vines that are just assholes.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I'll become the mutant bear or the mutant crocodile. I mean, who knows?
True.
Yeah, I'd rather be, you know, plant food.
Okay. So plant. I mean, either way, you're plant food.
Well, yes. But, you know, it's a prettier way.
Yeah. Okay, so the movie Die Alone. In this movie, a plant virus turns its victims into zombies. So you turn into a zombie, which are then turned into plants. So I guess in Die Alone, you turn into a zombie. It's plant, zombie, plant.
I haven't seen that one. Sounds interesting.
I haven't either. I just looked it up and I found that. Or Little Shop of Horrors. Would you rather Audrey come and devour you?
Well, I have to pick the zombie plant. As much as I'm going to be sad that I'm going to miss the beautiful singing voice of Audrey too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather, I don't know. I've always said that if there ever was a zombie apocalypse and I got bitten, I'd kind of want to know what that's like. Just kind of like, I don't know. I guess it's a scientific kind of thing. Do I still have some kind of consciousness while I'm a zombie? Who knows? So yeah, I think I'd rather be a zombie than, you know, become plant food to Audrey too. Although he does have a beautiful singing voice.
He does. I would say I really don't want to become a zombie. I don't think that there would be any part of me. Like, I don't want my corpse walking around doing stuff and like harming other people. And then that's connected to me in some way, even though I'm dead. Like, I just don't want any of that. I would rather have Audrey 2 sing to me a pretty little tune and then eat me, like in one bite.
Fair enough.
Audrey's pretty fabulous. I would be okay with that.
I do love Audrey too, and I do love that that musical remake. So
mm-hmm. It's really good.
Well, final thoughts. It's a fun. The Ruins is a fun movie. If you like body horror, you know, it's got you covered. If you like seeing stupid people getting their just deserves, it's got you covered. Mm-hmm. It's a fun afternoon movie. I'm on Instagram, Jorge Palacios Quindalan. If anybody wants to follow me, I post about the movies I watch and collect constantly.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, I recommend this movie just because of the body horror. It's not a great movie, but it is worth watching, I think.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for coming, and I hope I see you at my next horror event.
I hope to go, and this was fun. Anytime that you need someone, let me know.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
It's inside me. I want to cut it.
The True Horrors portion is about carnivorous plants. I got most of my information from an article titled Carnivorous Plants, the Man-Eaters of the Plant World, through the Natural History Museum. These plants have developed a thirst for blood to help them flourish in nutrient-poor environments. Carnivorous plants attract, trap, and digest animals for their blood and nutrients. Well, the nutrients they contain. There are currently around 630 species of carnivorous plants known to science. If you pay attention to the ground around the ruins, there is a barrier of sandy soil between the ruins and the rainforest. Although most man-eating plants consume insects, larger plants are capable of digesting reptiles and small animals. Smaller carnivorous plants specialize in single-cell organisms, such as bacteria and protozoa. And aquatic examples also eat crustaceans, mosquito larvae, and small fish. Carnivory is such an efficient adaptation that it has evolved independently several times and occurs in unrelated plant families. These plants use a combination of photosynthesis, small creatures, and root systems. This reminds me of my recent blood work and the fact that I'm vitamin D deficient. We also need the sun, and please, no D jokes. I know I need my vitamin D, and I know which D it is. It's not the D you're thinking. Shush. I'm basically a carnivorous flower over here. The habitats of carnivorous plants are varied, but usually involve wet, low-nutrient sites, including bogs, swamps, water bodies, water courses, forests, and sandy or rocky sites. So, everywhere, basically. Carnivorous plants can be found on every continent except Antarctica, where there are no plants. Makes sense. Carnivorous plants use a variety of strategies to lure their prey into their traps. Some produce strong-smelling nectar and have intense coloration that mimic flowers. Others camouflage themselves, seemingly, into their surroundings, so the victim just blunders into them. The intense coloration of trapping organs can give the impression that they are flowers when they are, in fact, ingeniously adapted leaves. Carnivorous plants keep prey separate from useful pollinating insects by growing their real flowers at the end of a very long stalk, which blossom as far as possible from tempting and deadly digestive organs. Most carnivorous plants produce digestive enzymes that dissolve their prey into a nutritious bug stew. Some provide an enticing home for symbiotic bacteria that they depend on upon to break down their catch for them. Though there are hundreds of species, each with unique adaptations, carnivorous plants can be classified into five groups based on their trapping method: pitfall, adhesive, snap, snare, and suction. I'm only going to cover a few of these methods with some more detail. Feel free to look up these plants in your free time and freak people out with your knowledge of carnivorous plants. So the pitfall types are formed by a single leaf or rosettes forming tubular or pitcher-shaped traps. Prey is drawn to the nectar at the pitcher rim. A slippery substance at the rim causes the prey to lose its footing and slip into the base, which is filled with digestive fluid. Some carnivorous plants catch their prey by snap-closing traps made of modified leaf blades. Drawn by the promise of a flower, the insect or small reptile enters the trap, stimulates sensitive trigger hairs. These send an electrophysiological impulse to snap the leaf blade shut and ensnare the visitor. Once a meal is secured, the leaf secretes a digestive fluid to absorb the animal protein. Venus flytraps are native to the subtropical wetlands in the U.S. They can grow large enough to ensnare small lizards. So, plants mimicking other life forms and feasting on the flesh of other species is nothing new. Let's end on a high note.
Through your nose.
Keep breathing. Okay. I got it.
All right, he's almost done.
I don't currently have any sponsors, but I am for sale and willing to sling products your way. I am probably best fit for fitness ads with my journey back to a healthy and active lifestyle. My blood work is what got me into this kick. I'm currently on a mission to prevent diabetes. I'm sure everyone understands. This is further proof that teaching was literally killing me, because I could not prioritize myself in that field. Okay, on another note, ladies, please listen to your instincts when it comes to people on the internet. I'm putting myself out there, and that makes someone vulnerable, especially when I'm trying to connect with people. Lots of scams out there and creepy assholes. I'm a middle-aged millennial, almost empty nester, who, you know, I don't find myself, like, I'm happily married. When I put myself out there, I'm not putting myself out there to, like, be a thirst trap or be, like, anything. I have stuff to say, and I have content to create, and I'm creative, and I like to be creative. And that's it. That's it. All the other stuff, like, I really don't care for. Like, I've got certain assets that can help a girl out, but aside from that, like, I'm just trying to use my brain. I'm trying to give you guys, yeah. So I recently had like a super creepy guy pretend to be like connected to someone that would be a desirable person to know in the field of what I'm doing and where I'm trying to go. And like, I was kind of skeptical, but I was like, all right, you know, no harm, no foul, whatever. I was just leaving it as is. But then this guy kept messaging me more and more and more. And I'm like, all right, things are not adding up. And some of this stuff is like kind of strange, kind of sketchy. Let me look up and see if some of this is legit that he's saying. And of course it wasn't. And I already knew that. I have my gut instincts. I know how the world works. So I ended up blocking this person. And I just want to say, you know, if you have a creepy feeling about something, don't just sit on it. Like, check it out. No harm, no foul. Like, fucking block someone, even if you don't have evidence that what they're doing is sketchy. You owe no one nothing. I don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe anyone anything. Protect yourself, okay? And I'll let you know that if you plan on being a creepy fuck, I have a big scary husband that you don't want to mess with. I'm going to do some shout outs on social media. So on Blue Sky, someone with a really weird username that I cannot pronounce, PYTPY. So they said, thanks for interesting info. I love your content and style. The price is either horror or money laundering. And that was in reference to like edit I made about the coffee mug bong that's in the cabin in the woods, which was I covered that movie last week. And so if you want to know more about that, you can go listen to that episode. Also, follow me on social media so you can see all like the little snippets and reels that I make as well. I try to post something every day. On Instagram, I had a lot of questions about the cabin in the woods and like if they're going to make a reboot, or a lot of people were just interested in there being a remake in the future. As far as I've seen, there's no such thing going to happen. A lot of people do seem to want that to happen though. So I don't know, maybe it will be a thing in the future, but right now there are no talks of that. Yeah, I think that's about it. I'm really excited about the exposure I've been getting. I have like 4,900 followers right now on Instagram, and I have over 9,000 followers on Blue Sky, and I'm hoping to just keep growing and be able to make this into a career. I do want to monetize. That is my goal at some point. Right now, I'm not able to monetize, but you know, so keep sharing, subscribing, all those things. Please, please, please. It really, really helps a Scream Queen out. My next horror trivia event will be based on the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. All 7 movies. I'm not including Freddy vs. Jason because we don't need that nonsense diluting the purity of Freddy. He wins, right? I'm pretty sure he wins. I'm Team Freddy every time. The next event will take place April 15th. This is a weekly podcast with new episodes out every Thursday. All the research, writing, and audio is done by yours truly. This is a one-woman show, and I'm doing my very best. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. It really means a lot. For real, you guys, for real. Share my shit if you like it. You can find me on Instagram at Scream Queen Podcaster, Blue Sky at Scream Queen Podcast, TikTok at Scream Queen Podcast, and there's a link tree that will take you to YouTube and Facebook and all the other places. If you see a group of people kill their own, don't go looking for sympathy. Until next time, goodbye.